This is the B-side of the lecture, Jeremiah and Prophecy, Part 3. I have been showing in Jeremiah chapter 25 a most significant prophecy given by this axial prophet, the key prophet of the Old Testament, Jeremiah. He said that a 70-year period would exist from the time that the Jews were taken captive, the city of Jerusalem destroyed, and the temple destroyed, until Babylon itself would be in perpetual desolations. Now that's what it said, 70 years. Let's go on. He again states this in chapter 29 of the book of Jeremiah. Let's go on to verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, that means when you Jews are now 70 years at Babylon, based upon the prophecy of four chapters before, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. The place is Jerusalem. Now that did occur. But when you look at chapter 25, where it says that Babylon shall go into perpetual desolations at the end of that 70 years, do you know what happened? It did not occur the way it looks like. Babylon continued to exist. And in fact, it was taken over by Cyrus, king of Persia. And Cyrus continued to exist, and we even find it in the Bible here. Daniel himself, who was a prophet and understood these prophecies of the 70 years, was one who lived in the time of King Cyrus. And Cyrus has another prophecy in the book of Isaiah about him helping to build the temple at Jerusalem. And we find Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest in the 6th century B.C., at the end of it, went down and built the temple at Jerusalem again. It almost looked like that part of that 70 years prophecy did not see fulfillment in exactly the way that Jeremiah said it would be. Now, it looks like that on the surface. Now, when you go to chapter 29 and verse 10, that did take place, because it says here, after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. And they did return to Jerusalem. But for Babylon being a perpetual desolation, as it says in chapter 25, that did not take place. But if you look at chapter 25, it says that Shishak, Babylon, would be given the cup of destruction much later than the 70 years here. The 70 years was a point of beginning, just as the 70 years in the millennium that we will find to take place after Christ Jesus comes back is a time of beginning in which a reconstruction will take place. That is what Jeremiah actually meant. But when we find that at the end of 70 years, Babylon did not see perpetual desolations, and in actual fact, Cyrus built up Babylon. Later on, we find the Babylonian system continuing, just exactly as Daniel said it would, through Persia, through Greece, and on down to us today. And you know, the 10 kings at the feet of this Babylonian image have not yet appeared on earth. But once they appear on earth, we find that there's going to be that stone that will come down from the mountaintop, and it will hit the image, the Babylonian image, on the feet, and then Babylon will be destroyed. My goodness, when you really look at it, many years in advance, the Babylonian kingdom would finally see its demise. Now, some people, when they read chapter 25 of Jeremiah, they said, Jeremiah, when the 70 years came to an end and they saw Babylonian civilization still continuing, they said, Jeremiah, you are a false prophet. In fact, by that time, Jeremiah was dead. But Jeremiah himself wondered, why are you giving me these prophecies, God, when they don't seem to actually have their fulfillment in the way that I would want them to be? Do you know that Jeremiah himself actually complained to God because some of the prophecies that he was uttering did not seem to materialize in the day in which he was living? You know why they did not? Daniel comes along and explains why. they did not materialize because they were for our time today, at the end of the age. In actual fact, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 10, mark that down. Jeremiah is complaining to God for deceiving not only the people of Judah with some of his chronological prophecies, but even deceiving me, Jeremiah, believe it or not. You look at chapter 20 and verse 7, mark that scripture down. He says the same thing there. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 15 through 21, Jeremiah the prophet even goes to God and says, why am I in the position that I am that none of your prophecies that I am seemingly giving are coming to pass the way that they should come to pass? And you know what God said to Jeremiah? You ought to read it there. Jeremiah 15, verses 15 through 21. He said to him, I am the one in charge. I will do as I please. If I tell you to do something or say anything, you do it, Jeremiah, and don't you gripe. And Jeremiah said, yes, sir. You know, in the prophecies of Christ, in Matthew 24, when he speaks about the end time, when he says that he is going to come, and some people will say, my Lord delays his coming, the chronological prophecies, many people are going to have difficulty with, just as they did with Jeremiah. But let me tell you this, they are going to occur precisely in the way that God wants. He has a way of hiding his chronological prophecies so that people on the surface cannot understand them. But you have to put the whole scenario of the prophecies together to be able to understand what the truth really is. And in fact, when Daniel came along to interpret that 70 years, Daniel said, why has not Babylon been destroyed? And Babylon wasn't destroyed. It should have been, you would think, from Jeremiah chapter 25, but it wasn't. So God comes to Daniel, the prophet, who had already been given this vision of a long existence of the Babylonian kingdom. He'd already been given it, but notice what Daniel is given here in chapter 9 of Daniel. It's most important. Now you turn in your scripture over there to that, and let's read it. And you're going to find that this prophecy of 70 years is a kingpin prophecy that helps Daniel to understand what the truth really is. Daniel chapter 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Hazarias, of the seed of the Medes. Now this is after the fall of the Babylonian kingdom. Now, Babylon itself as a city continued to exist. And Daniel saw the city existing. Why should it exist when after 70 years it supposedly should go into perpetual desolation? Remember, we find, though, that in chapter 25 of Jeremiah, he takes Babylon and puts it as Shishak. And Shishak will suffer after all the others do. And in the book of Daniel, it shows a long time after. Now, here is Daniel. And what does Daniel do? At this very first year of Darius, it says in chapter 2, and in the first year of the reign of in his reign of Darius, I, Daniel, understood by books, that is, the books of the Bible that had been written, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. Now here is the third time that this 70 years is going to come up. Daniel is going to base in chapter 9 here, the prophecy or the vision that was given to him upon this 70 years and the proper interpretation of the 70 years, which most people were misinterpreting, including Jeremiah himself in the earlier period. He says, I understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. In other words, Jerusalem would be desolate from its absolute destruction in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar for 70 years. Now, here it was, getting close to that time. And Daniel said, I've been reading Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was an axial prophet of God. Jeremiah was absolutely inspired of God. He had no doubt of that. And he says, now I'm looking in the books of Jeremiah, and I find that 70 years. And you know what it says? I set my face unto the Lord God to seek my prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I wanted to know what the real interpretation of that 70 years was in regard to the restoration of Jerusalem. Well, Gabriel comes to him, the archangel, and begins to tell Daniel what the truth really was. And he said to Daniel, in fact, this is not recorded, but in Daniel chapter 2, when he interpreted the great dream to Nebuchadnezzar, there were to be a series of kings coming up from Babylon, the head of gold, to Media Persia, of silver, and then of Javan, of Greece, would be of brass, and then on down through the two legs, which would be of iron, and then finally down to the toes of the image, which would be iron mixed with miry clay, that the stone cut out of the mountain would destroy sometime in the future. Daniel understood that, but he says, where does the 70 years come into this? Gabriel then says to him, Daniel, I'm going to now, with God's help, give you an interpretation of those 70 years. It's not 70 years that is going to be the most important thing. He starts here in verse 21. He says, while I was speaking in prayer, the man, that is the angel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, he comes to him and he begins to give him the interpretation. It wasn't 70 years that would pass, but 70 weeks of years. Here is Daniel chapter 24, chapter 9, verse 24. It says, 70 weeks, and he means 70 weeks of years, 490 years, are determined upon your people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end to sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy, or the holy of holies. And then he tells him several things that are going to occur within that 490-year period. In other words, it's not now 70 years in this prophecy, but 70 weeks of years, 490 years. 70 sabbaticals, sabbatical years, when we really understand what that means, were going to pass. Daniel understood it. And you know these 70 weeks, you know when they were to start? From the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem in the time of Cyrus, king of Persia. And if you'll go forward, the number of years that Daniel said, and I have written on this many times, you come to the very time when Jesus Christ was here on earth, leading up to the anointed, the one, Jesus Christ, based upon the 70 weeks prophecy here. But this 70 weeks prophecy is actually based upon the 70 years, sabbatical years, that Daniel, I should say Jeremiah, prophesied back there that people were getting upset about because they didn't quite understand. Now Daniel begins to interpret for them what the real truth of those 70 years are. Now look at these 70 years because we have another place where they're mentioned. Going back to the book of Chronicles, the last chapter of Chronicles, chapter 36, it shows the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar. And here is the 70 years of Jeremiah coming back. The 70 years that were finally interpreted by Daniel in slightly a different way. Look at this, in verse 19 of chapter 36 of 2 Chronicles. And they burnt the house of God, that is the temple. This was in the 6th century B.C. They break down the wall of Jerusalem. They burnt all the palaces thereof with fire. They destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he, that is Nebuchadnezzar of the Jews, away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons unto the reign of the king of Persia, Cyrus, king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of, who is it? Jeremiah. This is in the book of Chronicles. Until the end had enjoyed, or the land had enjoyed, her Sabbaths, her Sabbath rests. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So there is that 70-year prophecy, starting with the fall of Jerusalem and going all the way on. But it says the 70 years would last until the time of the king of Persia. I want to tell you something here. In my fourth lecture, which I'm going to give next time, I'm going to show the importance that this be 70 years. If it's 52 years, as some people say, we're going to find the chronology of the Bible being absolutely obscure and in no way proper. If it is 70 years, as it's stated here, from the fall of Jerusalem until the reign of Cyrus, we're going to find a chronology that fits perfectly with everything. 70 years is most important, and here we find it in the book of Chronicles. Not only that, after the 70 years were over, we find Zechariah the priest prophesying. And you know what he says? The very first thing that he does in his prophecy, in Zechariah chapter 1, this is after the Babylonian captivity, this is what he says, verse 12 of chapter 1. And the angel of the Lord answered and said, now this is Zechariah, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you have had indignation these 70 years? What's 70 years? 70 years. In the time of Zechariah, it said back there in Jeremiah 25 that Jerusalem would come forth at the end of 70 years. Zechariah looked around him and he said, it doesn't look like it's happening. Now, they already had Daniel's prophecy, and so they understood that. But still, they wondered, why at the end of the 70 years did not things begin to materialize as they thought it would back there? We're going to find with Daniel's prophecy that those 70 years are yet future, or the conclusion of them. That doesn't end Zechariah. He continues in chapter 7 over here. Look at chapter 7 and verse 1. It came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius, now this is a few years later, that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even Kislev. And you know what he says? Look at verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did you at all time fast unto me in a proper way? He again refers back to the 70 years of Jeremiah. Now, isn't it interesting that Zechariah two different times refers to the 70 years? And many of the Jews at the time were wondering whether the 70 years were actually being fulfilled or not. Daniel had already said it's going to be 70 weeks of years. Reaching unto the Messiah, that's where you need to look for the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy concerning the emergence of the Messiah on the earth. Now, when you come to the time of Jesus, you go over to Matthew chapter 1, and you look at Matthew. Here is Jesus born into the world, and you know the prophet that is used there in Matthew that is used the most to introduce Jesus into the world? It's this very prophet who is the axial prophet, the key prophet. It's Jeremiah. If you'll look at Matthew chapter 2, it says in verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly wroth, and he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled the prophecy spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. Now, this is the introduction of the Christ child into the world. It has to do with that 70 years, or better yet, the interpretation of Daniel, that it was to be 70 weeks of years until the great anointed one would come, the Messiah. And here is what Jeremiah said. He said it in the fourth chapter of Jeremiah. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. That was a prophecy from Jeremiah to introduce the Christ child into the world. But Jeremiah's prophecy was not only the one to introduce the Christ child to the world, it was the one to introduce him to his crucifixion as well. and also what Judas did by the 30 shekels of silver that he presented to the priest. Go to Matthew chapter 27. It's most important we realize this, because this actual prophet I'm talking about here in this lecture not only has a significance back in the 6th century B.C., but he has a significance at the introduction of the Christ child into the world and also for his crucifixion. Jeremiah is most important in all of these issues. So let's go to Matthew here, chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. This is in the New Testament. When they had bound him, they led him away. They delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas Iscariot, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. You know, in the Old Testament, the price of a slave was 15 shekels of silver. The price of Jesus was 30 shekels, two times that of a slave. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. Judas, you see, was a priest. He went into the temple and he cast the 30 shekels of silver inside the holy place of the temple. He departed, he went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces, said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury of the temple, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Now here's where Jeremiah comes in, not only with his birth, but a prophecy dealing with his death. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. See it there? It is Matthew 27, verse 9. We find Jeremiah's prophecy now linked up not only with the birth of Jesus, but with his crucifixion. And it says, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And they said, that was a prophecy of Jeremiah. But now I want you, brethren, to look in the margin of your Bibles, if you have a margin there, and you'll find that prophecy where it says came from Jeremiah. You look at it. It says that prophecy about the 30 shekels is found in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12. That's right. In the prophecy of Zechariah, which was written long after the time of Jeremiah. What is the answer there? We find the book of Matthew saying that prophecy was by Jeremiah. I'm going to tell you a truth that you have probably never heard before, but I have written on this in the past 10 years. It's most important to realize, because the chronology of the end time that is just on the horizon to us is found in Zechariah chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14. Those six chapters, and in those chapters of Zechariah, that is, it's called Zechariah, but you know, even scholars today say those chapters are very different than the eight chapters of Zechariah that go before. They don't even seem to be written by the same author, and they're not written by the same author. You know who they're written by? Zechariah took prophecies of Jeremiah, just like Psalm 89 is a prophecy of Jeremiah. Psalm 119 is a prophecy of Jeremiah. Lamentations, all five chapters, are a prophecy of Jeremiah. Do you know that the prophecies of Zechariah, and they can be called Zechariah because they are attached, Ezra the priest attached them to Zechariah after the Babylonian captivity. But Zechariah chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 were not written by Zechariah. We find in the book of Matthew, they were written by Jeremiah the prophet. That is what you need to realize. And when you read the prophecies of what is going to happen in Jerusalem in the next few years, chapter 10, for example, and 11 and 12, 12 in particular of the book of Zechariah, it says a spirit of grace and supplication soon are going to be sent to the people of Jerusalem. And their Jerusalem, all of them together, are going to mourn for the one that they pierced. That is not a prophecy of Zechariah, though it is found in the book of Zechariah. That is a prophecy of none other than this man we have been talking about that's been attached to the book of Zechariah. You need to read my book, Restoring the Original Bible, where I show in there clearly and plainly how the Bible came together, how Ezra put it together in a way that you can understand it. But those last six chapters of the book of Zechariah are not written by Zechariah. They were given the authority of Zechariah by Ezra the priest. They were written by none other than this axial prophet, the one who spoke about the future, the one who spoke about the demise of the Babylonian kingdom and the rising up of the kingdom of God on earth, and also about the kingdom being in the authority of Jesus Christ. All of that is found from this axial prophet, this man called Jeremiah, and you have never heard this before. But it's about time you do, because when you understand these prophecies here, you're going to find out how important Jeremiah really is. Yes, the prophecies of the near future of what is going to happen in Jerusalem was written by none other than this axial prophet we're talking about here. And in my next lecture, I'm going to show you how important, even more important, Jeremiah is in the understanding of the now and the future. Get ready for some information you've never heard before, because it's going to, where I'm going to show you the Bible is coming alive as never before, because God is making it clear who wrote these prophecies of the Scripture. This concludes the B-side of the lecture, Jeremiah and Prophecy, Part 3.